Well, aren't you glad you're free? By the way, when he sets you free, you're free indeed. Don't have to worry about being put on that old auction block anymore. It's all done. You're redeemed. Bought with a price. Ransomed. Pardoned. Let's take our Bibles, if you will, please. We're going to turn to Joel chapter 2. Joel. Let's see here. Proverbs, Psalms. Yeah. Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. There you go. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Get there. There we go. How about that? Is that right? Okay. You're a little closer to Sunday school when you learned those than I was. Joel chapter 2, verse number 27, if you will. We're speaking on the promise of the power. To possess the promise of the power. We've started a series of messages some weeks ago. I don't know, maybe it's months ago at this point. Possessing the promises of God. There's an awful lot of things that God wants us to have. He's already provided. We can't earn these things. We can't earn salvation. For by grace, that's undeserved merit, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, not of yourselves, not of yourselves. For by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, and it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And let me say this, I hate to add to the word of God, but lest any man should boast at any measure. He paid it all. All. Every little sin, every big sin, everything you have done from the day you were going to be born to the day you die, God knew every single one of them. They were all laid on him. The iniquity was laid on him. All of our sins was laid on him. And he died with our sins. Now, all you got to do at this point is, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call and receive. Possess the promises. That's a possession. Now, there are some things that salvation is totally by grace, and so is everything else coming to us by grace. But on the other hand, there are some things that he asks us to do to possess. We won't go through all those things. We go back and get the CDs or get it off the internet or something on the website. But there's some things we possess. One of those things that God gives us to live life is the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is it's a doctrine that's fascinating. It's a discussion that can be divisive. We must allow the Word of God to clearly direct us and teach us. And we must be careful that we do not allow ourselves to disregard passages and thus confuse ourselves or add words to those passages that aren't there. We've got to remember to hold the written Word of God above traditions of men and the teachings of institutions and denominations. We look at the Word of God. And so that's what we need to look at. In a passage here in Joel chapter 2, of course, this is Old Testament. Now, in the Old Testament, the Spirit would come upon people. God would use them. The Spirit came upon Samson. The Spirit came upon Gideon. The Spirit came upon these men. In the New Testament, and he's foretelling that. Joel is telling us how this is going to work. He says the Holy Spirit, the Lord, will actually be in us. And we live in that age that we can possess the Holy Spirit. Verse number 27 of Joel chapter 2, it says, "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." He says, there's going to come a time when everybody's going to know he's right there in the middle of us. Look at verse 25. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." They will give out the word. It'll be the word of God presenting. That's what a prophet does. A priest took human and brought us before God through the sacrifice, through the blood. A prophet took the word of God and brought it to man. And he says, we're going to have your kids knowing the word of God and speaking the word of God with the power of the Spirit. Well, how's that? Well, he's going to talk about it here. He says, your old men, middle voice, verse 28, your old men shall dream dreams. That's because we like to take naps. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So it makes no difference how old you are or how young you are. He's saying here, that's not the determining factor. It's not talking about your social status. Well, you know, well, I'm not one of them, so he's not going to. No, he says he's going to be on all of us. Verse 30, and I will show wonders. Now, of course, now remember, when he talks about the end times here, we're starting the end time. The end time started when Jesus ascended. We're in that age of grace, the age of the Gentiles. And then it's going to, at the end of this age, of course, you're going to have all kinds of crazy stuff. You got the Battle of Armageddon. There's going to be a new heaven, new earth, and all kinds of things going on. And he's talking about here, he's talking about verse 31, the sun shall be turned in the darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever, during these times, it may be bad, but it says, during these times, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That word delivered, the same word we have is saved in Romans 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be delivered, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now that's talking about the Old Testament, telling us what's going to happen. Now we're living in that time now. Let's pray. We're talking about the promise of the Spirit. The promise of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your graciousness and your mercy. It just overwhelms me sometimes, knowing who we are, the love that you give us that passes knowledge, goes beyond our comprehension, but really it even goes beyond what you know about us, and yet you love us. And Lord, when you got ready to be offered up as our sacrifice, you told your disciples that you would not leave us comfortless, but that you would come to us. You said you're going to bring peace, not as the world gives peace, but as you give peace. You promised the power. You told them to wait in Jerusalem and to tarry there until the promise of the Father comes, and they would be endued with power, be witnesses unto you. And Lord, there's so many things that we try to live on our own. We try to live life. We try to be a good spouse on our own. We try to be good parents. And Lord, we know we can't do it without you. So Lord, we ask you. I ask you this morning to help us understand maybe a little more fully the power of the Spirit that you've offered so freely that we can possess, and that we have as Christians. Lord, use us. May it be a blessing to these folks. Your Spirit move. Lord, be one who doesn't know Christ as their Savior. I pray that today be the day of their salvation. May they come to know you and be indwelt by you, and have access to all the graces and all the blessings of heaven. We put it all in your hands, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I believe that there are some passages that we will not fully understand until we're with Jesus. And the work of the Holy Spirit may be one of those things. The work of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's heart and life is essential for salvation. You can't get saved without the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't be regenerated. You cannot be sanctified. God works in our heart, makes us what we need to be, sanctified positionally. We're seen as the righteousness of Jesus. He imputes to us his righteousness. He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, doesn't see our sins. When you receive Christ as your Savior, well, what's that mean? That means you have to admit that you're a sinner. We all are. And we have to understand that because of our sin, we cannot enter the presence of God. But when eternity comes to our time, in that moment we leave this world, we're going to go to what we've chosen while we were here. If we choose to have God in our life here, receive his Son as Savior, we will be with him forever. If we don't choose to have him, we will be away from him forever. And that's what hell is, everything God's not. Jesus Christ died and paid for all our sins, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For with the heart man believes in the righteousness. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's done. It's finished. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us. The Holy Spirit is also essential for empowering the work of the believer. Many Christians can be guilty of being saved by the Spirit and then trying to grow in the Lord by the work of their own flesh. I'm not saying we don't make decisions. That's a different story. But somehow we think, well, if I just put this on, I put that on, I do this, and I say amen the right time, and I make sure and I'm in church. Listen, they say, well, that means I've grown. No, it means you've gotten to some habits. There's nothing wrong with habits. You teach kids habits so they never get themselves in a mess in the first place. But somewhere along the way, they got to realize they're sinners in need of a Savior. And then we start doing it out of habit. We start doing it out of love for our Savior. Some try to do the eternal work of the Lord to which they're called by working in the flesh. And I'm not just talking about preachers. I'm talking about maybe a Sunday school teacher, an usher, the sound man, the Sunday school teacher, the children's worker, the nursery worker. Whatever we're doing in the name of the Lord, we ought to do in the power of God. Because listen, when somebody meets up, they ought to see you face to face. Listen, there's been many times while leaving someone to the Lord, you get to the point where it's almost like the lights go on. I love it when the lights go on. It's like, I get it. And it's just amazing. And listen, when someone comes by you, they ought to see something. They ought to know you've been with the Lord. Listen, when Moses came down off the mountain, his face glowed. They could hardly take it. They put a veil over his face. People ought to know that you and Jesus are tight. Not because we tell them, not because we try to put on a show, because it just glows. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. If the light's in there and you just let it out, you're not forcing it out. But we try to do this by the work of the flesh. Galatians 3:1 says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey? I think my battery. You should not obey. Now, let me go back and catch it. We're going to do it right. That should not obey the truth before the whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Watch. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? We got saved by grace through faith. Do you think we're going to be made perfect by flesh? No, it's the same Holy Spirit. Now, this series of messages, my goal was to help you gain a desire to know the Spirit of God as a friend. It's really through the Holy Spirit that we learn to know the Father and the Son. It is the Spirit that interacts and converses, if you will, with our spirit. I'm not saying you hear voices. But he can press upon your heart and press upon your mind, your soul. Truth is imparted to our souls through the communion of our spirit with the Holy Spirit as we read the Word of God. By the way, the Word of God was inspired by God and written by men as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. He knows what He wrote. Be real nice to listen to talk to the author as we read His Word. 2 Peter 1 says, For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved. There's that unction that moved by the Holy Ghost. There is a whole new level of communication with God when we yield to the Spirit of God. Truth and understanding of the Word of God and peace and godly character all come as we yield to the Holy Spirit as He leads us into all truth. And we gave a little quick thing on the foundation last week, and that was the person of the Holy Spirit. It's not just a force. The Holy Spirit is really Christ's Spirit. John 14:16 says, And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter, and that He may abide with you forever, even of the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. Verse 18, I will come to you. It's like having Christ in us. He says, it's expedient that I go away, because if I go not away, I won't send the Comforter. As crazy it might sound, when Jesus was on earth, the Holy Spirit was in Him. But see, He had to die for our sins and impute to us to count us as righteous so that, so far so good. I don't know what we're doing here, but we'll leave it go until we do something. Maybe it was just me. I think I shaved. Did it rattle? No. Okay. No. Anyway, he will not leave us comfortless. Jesus Christ was doing His work, but He said, listen, greater works shall ye do because I go. Why? Because now the Holy Spirit is in us. Well, I'm not seeing a whole lot of that going on. I'll tell you why. Because we don't let him do our work. We're trying to do the work like we're doing him a big favor. The Holy Spirit is not a mythological creature. The Holy Spirit is not just your conscience talking to you. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of superstition like trolls and fairies. The Holy Spirit is not just a positive outlook on life. The Holy Spirit is not just a sense of guilt that we bring on ourselves. The Holy Spirit is not just some kind of elusive presence that we conjure up to get a thrill. The Holy Spirit is not some kind of energy that we work up in our music or some other action. What we have in the Spirit is the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, 1 Corinthians 2:16, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We're talking about being grieved and quenched. He's a person. He's touched with our needs. He knows our hurts. He knows our frustrations. He knows where we're coming up short. He knows what we can't handle. And he says, listen, take my yoke upon you. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, for my burden is light. My yoke is easy. He said, would you just get yourself in my yoke? Like I've said it before, like over there in Lancaster, actually we got some in our area now, where you see the Amish are actually out there plowing with their animals, and they put the yoke on there, and they got a couple of them yoked together, and so, you know, it's 2 horsepower. So they got a 2 horsepower plow there, and away they go out through the field. The fact is, you get yoked up with him, you got God power, and you go along for the ride. He's doing the work, but you know what that means we got to do? We got to go where he goes. We got to turn when he turns. We got to stop when he stops. He's the big horse, and we're just a pony going along for the ride. We think we're doing it all, and it's the big horse doing all the work. Take his yoke. Let yourself get in line with him. Now, number one this morning, I want you to see the promise of the Spirit. You say, well, is this really true? This is true for every single one of us that are in here that knows Jesus Christ is our Savior. And if you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior, we can fix that before you leave this morning. That brings you the promise. That brings you the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. Number one, the promise of the Spirit. This concept is not something that man conjured up in the last few years. God promised that we would have the Spirit of God in us. The promise of the Spirit is to everyone. Not go back and read it all. We read it there in Joel. He says, you got the kids. They can have it. We have children in our church who have received Christ as their Savior, who go back home, and we've had some lead their parents to the Lord or some of their friends to the Lord. Well, how can they do that? They've got the same Holy Spirit. And the fact is, unless you come as a little child, you cannot enter in. So they believe it, hook, line, and sinker. I hate to say it that way. But they believe the whole thing. And they don't worry about that. And they, by the way, they're not all worried. Well, I wonder what they're going to think about me. Well, they just go and give the gospel because it's real to them, and they know it's what their friends need. They give the gospel. He says the old folks. It says the servants. It doesn't matter where you are socially. He says the Holy Spirit comes. He is not a respecter of persons. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus said this. He was about ready to ascend. He says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, I understand that's talking about the filling of the Spirit as well, but the point here is this is all promise. This was all supposed to come. We'll talk about this in subsequent messages. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he saith, ye have heard of me. Jesus promised the Holy Spirit again in John 7, earlier in the ministry. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39 says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified. We couldn't have the Holy Spirit because we were still seen as sinners. God can't be associated, if you will, can't have be in the same area as sin. He can't be with sin. And so, but once we're saved, once he died, paid for our sins, and the blood was put on the altar of heaven, everything's done. It's signed, sealed, and delivered. We are now, those who receive Christ are now saved, and he can come in and make his abode in the hearts of man. So he couldn't do that yet. But he says, it's going to happen after I die for your sins, you receive Christ, you get it. John 15, 26, Jesus says, and when the comforters come, there it is. Didn't say if. When the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. It's a promise of the Father. No one can sit in these pews here this morning and say, well, the Holy Spirit's not for me. No one can say that. No one has to say that. Well, I'm not the preacher. I'm not this. That makes no difference. If you know Christ as your Savior, you're a child of God. And he promised to give you the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you number two. See the promise of the Spirit. Number two, I want you to see we're going to spend most of our time right here. The possession of the Spirit. The possession of the Spirit. You want to turn real quickly to John chapter 20, verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 20. Jesus has been crucified, he's risen, and he's talking to the disciples in the upper room. Now, I mentioned this the other week. There's some things that happen during this time where God kind of stretches it out so we can see each portion. We saw the Holy Spirit working in the hearts of people, and God gave them some power on them during the life of Jesus. But he says, I'm going to go to the Father, and greater works shall you do, because I'm going to send the Comforter, which is really me. But the Spirit's going to come on you. So then we have what we call the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But then he says, now this happens in John 20, 20. But then, some days later, he says, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Till the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. You say, well, is that a second blessing? Well, that's kind of a loaded question. That's what some folks will say. I don't want to spend a lot of time because I want to talk about this more on another time, so I don't want you to be confused, though. When you get saved, as you're going to see it here in a second, you get the Holy Spirit. Now, you didn't just get his arms and his legs and didn't get the rest of him. You know what I'm saying? You didn't get part of the Spirit. You got the Spirit. Okay? Here's the question. They said, now you're going to be witnesses. Witness of me. Well, in other words, you're going to have to do what I've been doing. You don't want to do what you're going to do. Man. Now, I've been doing this for a long time, but there's some folks, if I said, okay, you preach next Sunday. I just like to talk, and you figure it out. There's no problem. Now, some folks here have no problem. Sure, let me have it. That'd be great. And there's some folks that don't make me do that. Please don't let me do that. And I'm really... To a certain extent, the disciples said, we're supposed to pick up where you left off. In fact, when they thought it was all over and he was dead and gone, Peter said, let's go fishing. He went back to his old job. I'm not doing this. Jesus isn't here. I'm not doing this. And Jesus said, don't worry about that. Let not your heart be troubled. Peace I leave with you. Not my peace. Not as the world gives unto you. And that's all in the midst of the Holy Spirit comes and says, I'm going to give you the unction, the power to do what I've called you to do, whatever that is. Doesn't call everybody to preach. So you have the filling, you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but then you have what you call the filling of the Spirit. And again, don't want to get real into this too tight, but the filling is we possess all of the Spirit. Here it is. We possess all the Spirit. Does the Spirit possess all of you? That's the difference. You possess all of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of times, we grieve the Spirit. We quench the Spirit. We tell, every time he tries to lead us, well, that's not going to work. Well, I'm going to look like a fool. Well, that's silly. I don't never work. And basically what we're saying is, Holy Spirit, in my heart here, you go sit in a corner someplace and I'll come if I need you. Keep your mouth quiet until I get there. They probably wouldn't say it, but we're just ignoring him. Just ignoring him. He's in. You have all of him, but you let him have all of you. We'll talk about that a little bit more. So I just didn't want you to get confused here. So in John 20:20, Jesus has risen again. It says, and when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now watch this. Again, make the connection. The Holy Spirit is not only to seal us and some other things, but the fact is to give us the power to do the work of Christ. He says, I'm sending you out there. In fact, he told me before, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. You know, what? Peace. Don't. I know it's all out there. It looks terrible. Don't worry about that. I'm going to give a peace. He says, peace be on you. As the Father sent me, so send I you. Well, you got crucified. I don't know why I can do this. Peace. It'll be all right. Verse 21. Then Jesus said, peace be unto you, as my Father sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Simple. Now, I see no fireworks. The earth didn't quake. There was no great wind, but a still small voice. And they received the Holy Ghost. When you get saved, sometimes people are waiting for some kind of crazy thing to happen. Well, I know so-and-so, when they got saved, they hoot and holler and everything else, and they jumped up and did this and did that. Well, okay. But how many times when Jesus made blind to see, he didn't do the same way every time. In fact, he kind of did it a little different every time. We're all different. Maybe you're not a hoot and hollering type of person. But inside, you're just melting. You know what I mean? I don't know. We're all different. It's not the experience. It's the fact that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. He said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. Now watch what it says. It goes on. It says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. In other words, he's saying, you go give somebody the gospel and they get saved, they're saved. You did that. You weren't able to give them the gospel. Just like I was able to give them the gospel and they get saved. And so the fact that the folks that you don't talk about, you don't tell Jesus about, they're not going to get it. Their eternity is in your hands. You get the power of God to help you do it. See, we do not work up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an emotional frenzy. The Holy Spirit is not a confusing ruckus. The Lord is not the author of confusion. In fact, 1 Corinthians 14:33 says, is speaking of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit by tongues. And the fact is, did it work in Acts 2? We're going to talk about it a little bit. Yes. But it didn't always need that. And so the Holy Spirit manifests himself in many different ways. Yet without the work of the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing good for eternity. Now, I want to show you something here. Look at Romans 8. I know this is kind of like a Sunday school lesson, but the fact is, faith comes by hearing by the Word of God. You got to know what you believe in, and you got to know the book. If you don't know the book and what you believe, you're just going by what I told you. And you know, when the times get rough, you say, well, Pastor Walsh said so-and-so. So I guess, get the Word of God out. So Romans chapter 8, verse number 2. Let's look what it says here. Romans 8, verse number 2. We're talking now about, watch this, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what a law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for the sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We were given the law. It's our schoolmaster to teach us we're sinners. See, we don't think we're bad. In fact, if I compare myself with everybody else, I look pretty good because I always compare my good points to everybody else's bad points. Been there, done that, huh? And we can look just fine, but we're not comparing them, for who's ever come short of the glory of God? We all sin, come short of the glory of God. And he says, Jesus did not come to destroy law, but to fulfill it. Why, we can't do the law. I know, but you work with the Holy Spirit through you, you'll fulfill a whole lot more of it. Verse 4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we walk with the leading of the Spirit, we'll do more of fulfilling the law. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We become an enemy with God when we think about doing things our way. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're trying to, you might be doing all kinds of things in the service of the Lord. You may be doing all kinds of things, but you're doing it because you think you can do it. You cannot please God. Boy, it's tough. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Listen, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you're not his child. Now, if you're saved, truly saved in your heart, with a heart man believes under righteousness, you have the Holy Spirit. And now if you will yield to that Holy Spirit, you actually will be able to fulfill the law that God has called us to fulfill. Now, there's the last verse there. And if being Christ in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I don't know about you, but what I remember when someone said, if you receive Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you'll never die. I said, I've seen a lot of Christians die. I don't understand. The flesh will die, but the soul and the spirit lives forever. I don't want this flesh forever. I told you last week, I want about 6'3", 185 pounds, wavy hair, little dimple right there in the chin, you know. I'm not looking for this one. You know, the problem is, he says we're going to be known as we are known. So I don't know what that means, but... So much for that. I thought we were going to have a good time in heaven. But anyway, if you're saved, you already possess the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says, For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. All the promises that are to come by way of the Holy Spirit are already in us. We have to make access of the Spirit. The Spirit is all bundled up in Him. If we let Him rule our life, we have it. But if we set Him in the corner and don't listen to Him, then we're missing out. I got a new car. It's a little Hyundai. It's used, but it's 2015. It's got so many bells and whistles. There's some things on there I don't even use because I didn't look in the book to find out how to make them work. It's a lot of work to get in the book and find out how the thing works. There's buttons on there. There's things. I found a menu the other day on the screen there coming out. I didn't even know it was there. I was like, oh, there, look at that. There it is. That's the way it is with the Word of God. You know, you read this book and all of a sudden you say, oh, there it is. Well, it was there all the time. We just didn't get the book out, the manual, and read the manual. 2 Peter 1:2 says this. You've heard me say this so many times. 2 Peter 1 says this. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you how? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that these you might, by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. All that is to say this, you've got the Holy Spirit. If you get in here and know him, there's a lot of things, a great and precious promise he'll give you. Not only will he give you, you'll escape a lot of the mess that the world live in. I've talked to somebody some years ago, well, a year and a half or 3 years ago, whatever it was. My son was in college, and I was counseling a couple. We were in the middle of some things here, and my son was in college out in California, and he was vacuuming his room out, and he said, I don't know what it was. I just felt like I was supposed to text you. I don't know really what about. I just felt I was supposed to text you. And I thought, well, I'll do it when I'm done. It's like the Holy Spirit said, no, do it now. So he texted me. And I was just about ready to start this counseling session. And he just said, hey, Pop, love you. That was it. Well, the fact is, I was talking to a couple who really have kind of come up in some homes where the idea that mom and dad love you and care about you and you get along with them and they get along with you and, you know, one big happy family type thing, it's just totally foreign. And I just said, I'm sorry. We hadn't started to count, so I thought, well, I'll pick it up. I'm taking it up. And I said, hey, Pop, I love you. And I showed a little text there. And the fellow said, I can't wrap my brain around that. I just can't wrap my brain around that. Now, folks, life is possible the way God intended it to be. We have lived so far away from Christ and so far away from the work of the Holy Spirit, we hardly even understand how to comprehend that. It almost feels kind of creepy because it's so abnormal when it should be normal. I'm getting long here. So we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We have the receiving of the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you one more. The sealing of the Holy Spirit. We have the receiving, the indwelling, and I want to show you the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Once someone is saved, they have the Holy Spirit as a down payment for everlasting life. Once someone has the Holy Spirit will never leave them. We didn't earn him in the first place. And the fact is, the reason he was able to come in is because God's paid for all our sins. How many of our sins did he pay for? Till we die, he's already paid for them. Now, if you think you can receive Jesus as your Savior, and then you're going to lose him, and then you're going to receive him as your Savior, that means the Spirit's got to pop in and pop out, pop in and pop out, pop in and pop out. Doesn't work that way. All the sins that you will ever commit have also paid. Well, that was going to be a bad one. And he knew that. He knew it. The Spirit is a down payment for our eventual, here we go, total salvation. Real quick, look at Ephesians. This is the last point. I'm all done. We'll do some more next week. We'll talk about him possessing you. Ephesians 1, chapter 13. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. Well, let me back up. Look at verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also, speaking of Jesus, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worked all things after the counsel of his own will, that what here's what he predestined us to do, that we should be to the praise of his glory. He didn't choose some to get saved and some not to get saved. That's heresy. Don't go anywhere near it. He predestined what? That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Watch verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth. You got saved when you heard the gospel, the truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, if you trusted Christ Savior, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest, the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The fact is, Dr. Curtis Hudson, great preacher, he used to say, someone came up to him and said, do you always feel saved? He says, never till 10 o'clock. They said, there are going to be days you don't feel saved. There are going to be days you don't feel like the presence is there. It's just like there's some days when the cloud gets over the sun, or some weeks the cloud goes over the sun, and you see with the sun even still there. You know, we all kind of laugh. Oh, there, look at a great big red, yellow ball in the sky. Wonder what that thing is. I haven't seen it for so long. And sometimes God puts a veil over there, the clouds, and he wants to do what? Walk by faith. Now, that's not like walking by faith from your bed to the bathroom in the middle of the night with the lights out, because that doesn't always work. My toe can tell you, can testify. But the fact is, we can walk by faith because we have the Word of God. He told me what I'm supposed to do. The prime directive is to keep doing it until he calls me home. And so when he gives us the Holy Spirit, though, there's times when you say, you know, he leads us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He's telling me what to do. He's pushed me here, he's pushed me there. That's good because he's still with me. That sweet little peace that he gives us that passes all understanding, not as the world gives thee unto us, but his peace, that presence of his Spirit. Even when everything else is going wrong and we're walking with him, there's this little peace in our heart that says everything's all right in my Father's house. And he says that's the down payment. It may look bad on this side, but heaven's coming. Just listen to the Spirit. Let him give you that peace that passes understanding. It's all going to be okay. It's the down payment. Turn over to Ephesians 4:30. He's talking about how we're supposed to live. And here's where it says, Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away with you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Listen, you know what that means? He's going to stay with you even when he doesn't like you. Well, you know, if I really do something bad, is he going to leave me? No, that verse says, no, you're stuck. He sealed you. What good is a seal if it pops on and off? He says, you're a mess. Don't grieve. Listen, if we think, well, if he grieves so badly, he'll just leave. Well, I'm not sticking around with this mess. Sterling's a mess. I don't know. You say him, Lord, you leave him alone. I don't want him. No. He says, oh, Sterling, don't do that. I'll help you through this thing. Don't go there. Don't think that. Don't say those things. We can grieve him, but he still seals us until the day we get that new 6'3" body in the hand that we've here in the whole. Listen, he seals us until the day of redemption. That's what it's talking about. Now, if you know Christ as your Savior, you have admitted yourself a sinner who's going to split hell wide open because that's who we are, and you understand that Jesus Christ died and paid for all your sins and rose again, proving your sins were paid for. Didn't need to stay dead because the job was done. The wage of sin is death. It's over. And he said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you know Christ as your Savior, then you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, then you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And he's in there trying to teach us. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, get that in your mind this week, because I got some other things I want to do next week, Lord willing. You are not alone. You are never alone. When all your friends forsake you, when you're stuck in the middle of the night on a dark road in the middle of Wyoming, and there isn't anybody for 50 miles in either direction, you are not alone. Now hear me. This isn't Sunday school class for a five-year-old trying to make them feel good so they'll take a, so they can sleep all the way through the night so the boogeyman doesn't get them. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you're not alone. God Himself. When mother and father forsake me, the Old Testament says, the Lord shall take me up. You may be thinking, what in the world? There's certain people in my life that take care of me, help me. And what happens when they're gone? What am I going to do? The Lord will take you up. We are never, never, never alone. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts here this morning. Thank you so much for your presence, for your love, and for your grace. And Lord, in your grace, you save us. And Lord, in your grace, you keep us. Lord, I'm just so thankful for what you do. This is an important time, Lord, speak to our hearts. Heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. The piano organ's going to play as soon as they're ready. The Lord's spoken to your heart about some things here this morning.